Princeton University Press Audio presents How to Change a Memory, One Neuroscientist's Quest to Alter the Past, written and read by Steve Ramirez. For Shu. Introduction. A Memory of a Memory. May 26, 2011, might have been a sunny day in Boston, perfect for a brisk jog along the Charles River. Or it might have been a gloomy day, just right for a pint and a movie in Harvard Square. It could have been the ideal day for baseball if the Red Sox were back in town, but I can't tell you for sure. I can't tell you what I had for breakfast, lunch, or dinner that day. I can't tell you who I called, what news I read, what music I listened to. There are bits of experience I don't remember because, well, I'm relying on my memory. And yet, somehow, I do remember that I was in a windowless, dark room at the Brain and Cognitive Sciences building at MIT that afternoon, transferring a small black mouse from the palm of my hand into an almond-scented box about the size of a milk crate with white floors, transparent walls, and a camera mounted overhead. The mouse began sniffing its surroundings. It was no stranger to the box, having investigated the same corners just yesterday. The fact that nothing monumental had occurred during its initial journey in the box was important. It meant that the mouse had no reason to be afraid this time around. It could go about its business without fear as I recorded its behavior with my lab partner, Xu Liu. 10 days earlier, I watched as Xu anesthetized this very same mouse. We both felt similarly regarding the lab mice we worked with. We approached them with veneration for the biological revelations and with tremendous care for the life that they experience. Xu in particular took this relationship seriously, and that day I could tell how much this dynamic meant to him as he carefully lowered two glass barrels into two small holes through the top of the skull of the mouse. Like miniature flashlights about the width of cocktail straws and shorter than the nail on your pinky finger, these glass barrels are capable of funneling and focusing light onto the part of the mouse's brain in which they are nestled, in this case, in the mouse hippocampus. Why did we want to shine light onto the mouse's hippocampus, though? As part of our experiment, we'd made this particular mouse special using some genetic trickery called optogenetics. Put succinctly, optogenetics entails handcrafting special bits of DNA that make a cell light sensitive, and delivering those bits into very specific cells into the brain. Once these brain cells are made light sensitive, researchers can turn them on or off with light, much like a switch. Xu and I planned to focus beams of light directly onto our light-sensitive cells in the hippocampus, and voila, those cells would turn on. It's these particular hippocampus cells, we hypothesized, that contained a memory. Based on what we knew about the inner workings of the brain, Xu and I had every reason to believe that the hippocampus is like a mental time machine, an area that's active when a mouse is trying to remember the shortest path to return to the tasty crumbs in the kitchen pantry, or in one of us humans, when you recall the memory of your first kiss, or hearing your baby coo for the first time, or last Friday's delicious steak frites dinner. The hippocampus contains millions of brain cells, which chunk space and time into our personally experienced events. The hippocampus, in short, is crucial to the process of memory, in both our mouse and in humans. It teleports us to relive the past. Xu and I were playing with an idea that day in lab, as our mouse scurried about its box. Could we turn on a memory if we triggered the parts of the brain where it lived? We were in essence testing a hypothesis first put forth over 100 years ago by the German zoologist Richard Semmon. Semmon proposed that memories are a kind of lasting physical imprint or trace in the brain. Somehow, the marvelous waters of memory carve measurable grooves in the neural riverbeds of the brain. For the savvy enthusiast, there's an official term for this so-called memory trace, and it was first proposed by Semmon himself. Engram. The holy grail of memory neuroscience, the engram is thought to be the key to unlocking the power of our brain's mental time machine. Once we find the engram, Semmon's prescient idea goes, we could probably find a way to reverse engineer memory, and ultimately, control it. Xu and I used to refer to memory researchers as the auto mechanics of the brain, taking apart the fleshy machine between our ears one piece at a time in an attempt to understand what each piece does and how it enables our smooth mental time travel.